You're listening to a CUNY Radio podcast of BookBeat, presenting readings and discussions with distinguished and emerging authors.
Welcome to BookBeat. I'm Sheila McKenna. My guest is Peter Moskos, an assistant professor of law, political science, and criminal justice administration at John Jay College of Criminal Justice since 2004. A regular contributor to The Washington Post and The New York Times, Professor Moskos has just published his first book entitled Cop in the Hood, My Year Policing Baltimore's Eastern District. Professor Moskos, who graduated magna cum laude from Princeton, also received an MBA and a PhD from Harvard University. It was while he was a sociology graduate student at Harvard in 1999 that he chose to join the Baltimore Police Department in order to experience the job firsthand. The book has drawn a lot of attention, including glowing reviews in the Wall Street Journal and the Atlantic magazine. Professor Moskos has also appeared on NPR's Talk of the Nation and the Leonard Lopate Show on WNYC. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Cop in the Hood is a brutally honest account of your year as a police officer in East Baltimore, a city crippled by drug-related violence. But instead of being depressing, the book is funny, touching, and sharply insightful. When did you decide to turn what was initially a research project into a book, and why?
It was always my goal in that my dissertation would become a book. When I went to Baltimore, I was a grad student, and the first goal was to finish grad school. I wanted to get my PhD in sociology, which I did. But even when writing the dissertation, I planned to turn it into a book. So really, from day one in Baltimore, I figured there'd be a book at the end of the road.
Why? And why did you decide to do it?
I do think there's a story to be told. Baltimore is, in many ways, a unique and wonderful city. In other ways, it stands for a lot of the problems we have in all our cities. And I think having done what I did, it shows just the damage of the war on drugs and that these problems are not unique to Baltimore and problems that are inherent to police departments. And I also want to show the ways things can get better and better ways we can police to prevent crime. You know, these are important lessons, and too often neighborhoods like the one I worked in are just ignored.
You wrote that by understanding the Eastern District of Baltimore, you could understand the nexus of drugs, violence, and imprisonment. Can you explain what you meant by that?
There are big problems in many of our urban neighborhoods, and the Eastern District is certainly one of it. I label throughout my book, I call it a ghetto, which is some people find offensive, but the police use the term, the people I policed use the term. There are high levels of unemployment, of single motherhood, all the social and economic characteristics. It's 100% minority. The harms, by and large, stem from the war on drugs and from drug dealers on the corners and police response to it. The imprisonment rate is shockingly high. There are over 20,000 people arrested every year in an area that has 45,000 people. There's over 10% chance that men born in this neighborhood are going to be murdered in their lifetime. These are stats that are really hard to comprehend, and until you go to a neighborhood like this, it's really hard to imagine what that means. And that, in many ways, you know, every city's got a little bit of East Baltimore in them. Some cities have more and some have less. But the problems really stem from drug prohibition. And as a police officer dealing with a war on drugs and locking up drug dealers, I saw firsthand that we're not going to win this war on drugs. And in fact, fighting it does a lot more harm than the drugs actually do.
What tactics are not being utilized by police departments today that could help improve conditions in cities like Philadelphia, for example, that continue to suffer a high volume of violent crime?
I wish there were just a single bullet that could, you know, reduce crime in every city. But things can be done in every city, and a lot of that depends on what the problems are in the city, how it's set up. As a sort of umbrella solution, though, I would say you have a wonderful and by and large wasted resource in police patrol. That's the half of the police department that answers calls for service. You call 911 or 311, eventually an officer will show up at your door. That officer is not preventing crime. The system is designed to react to crime. And by and large, the officers sit in police cars and wait for someone to call them over after a crime has been committed. That's really where the potential is. It doesn't require more money. It doesn't require more resources. You have this police patrol, and it's got to be used better. And primarily, the single best thing to do would be get those cops out of police cars, get them walking the beat, get them riding bicycles, get them to interact with citizens, not just to be nice and wave, because, you know, the police job is to some extent harass criminals. That's what they're paid to do. But it's, you can do that better, and you can understand when somebody is engaged in criminal activity if you're walking down the street. You can't determine that from a police car. You're much more isolated. You can't hear the problems. You can't even see the problems as well. So getting cops out of cars, that's the single best thing.
And what about gun control enforcement? I know Philadelphia, for example, is one of the cities that, unlike New York, has pretty loose gun control. It's easy to get a gun there than New York.
Yeah, if I could wave a magic wand, I would love to get rid of illegal guns on the streets. That clearly is a problem. People are shooting each other. If we could get rid of guns, the murder rate would go down. That is very important. I don't think it's practical. In many ways, I think it's our efforts could be better spent elsewhere. Guns used in crimes are all already illegal. So unless we are willing to say and take the effort to say, you know what, we really are trying to take your guns away to everybody, and there are constitutional issues with that, I don't think it's worth fighting the fight. Guns are illegal. Passing more laws, making them more illegal, is not going to change it. I am not a fan of the NRA, but one thing they say makes sense, which is we have to enforce the gun laws we already have. And until we do that, just passing more laws might make us feel better, but it's not going to help the problem. But one thing the police can do, and they have done in New York, in Boston, is try to increase the penalties for carrying a gun around. You can de-escalate the streets. And they're trying that now in Baltimore. It requires a lot of cooperation with the federal authorities, because they're usually the stick behind it. But if you can get people to leave their guns at home because they're afraid of being frisked, because they're afraid of the penalties, for whatever reason, that can have a dramatic effect. And in New York now, occasionally hear about people getting stabbed in robberies, and I can't help in a horrible cop way but smile when I hear that, because it means they're not getting shot. You can de-escalate the streets, but similarly, you have to accept the fact that you're never going to get every illegal gun off the street.
In the epilogue of the book, you make a strong argument for drug legalization. This is a highly controversial issue. I don't have to tell you that. Why do you feel that we need to do a complete about-face?
Because what we're doing doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It isn't working. It won't work in the future. I do support drug legalization, but that sounds very radical to say I want to legalize crack and heroin. The way I prefer to phrase it is I want to regulate drugs. Right now, drugs are unregulated, and anybody can go to certain corners in any city and buy any drug they want. That is what leads to violence. That is what leads to overdose deaths. That's where the problem lies in this sort of free-for-all, unregulated drug market we have now. We do regulate some drugs very well. We regulate alcohol. We regulate tobacco. And we allow cities and states to establish a drug policy. By legalizing drugs, what I want to do is get the federal government out of the war on drugs, push back the clock a bit, perhaps to before 1970 when the war on drugs really started and then later got ramped up. We don't have to be so obsessed with drugs. And the most important thing, though, really is to regulate it, and we cannot regulate what we prohibit. That's the problem now, is it's this failed, we've had 80 years of failed prohibition. And people are dying. But there's such a strong lobbyists and propaganda and government money behind the war on drugs that it is a big battle to end that war. But the first step is sort of admitting that it's not working.
How has your stint in the Baltimore PD influenced you as a college professor?
I think it's made me a much better one. I don't think all professors need to be police officers, and I'd be a little afraid for the police departments if they were. But I can't imagine teaching the way I do and having done the research that I've done. I can't imagine not having done that and still being as effective of a professor in the classroom. If nothing else, especially teaching at John Jay College, where there are a lot of police officer wannabes and police concurrent police officers as well, it does give me a sort of instant street cred in the classroom, which helps matters, that I think I'm taking a little more seriously. But leaving aside that sort of the image of having been a police officer, I just think it's a certain reality-based knowledge of understanding these problems better. And going beyond, you know, using academic research and using the literature, but going beyond, it's a good reality check to know how things really work. And sometimes I do think that's missing in the ivory towers.
Mm-hmm. What do you enjoy more, teaching or policing?
Teaching, and I can say that quickly and confidently. Being a police officer wasn't the worst job I've ever had, and it also wasn't the best job, but by and large it was a job, and in many ways not a particularly good one. You're able to do a lot of good as a police officer. It's a noble job, and it's a dangerous job to some extent, but the pay is bad, the working conditions are bad, and you just deal with the same idiots day in and day out. And some of those are criminals, and some of those are fellow officers. I mean, teaching, the money is better, not great, but better. The hours are better, and you get summers off. I love teaching, and you get to deal with students, and dealing with students is a lot more life-affirming than dealing with criminals all the time.
Is there another job or book project that you like to tackle, or do you think you'll stick to the classroom?
No, I'm already thinking about my next book, and I have a couple ideas. I don't want to jinx anything by saying them yet, but no, the second book is in the works, still the early stages of that, but I don't see that as conflicting with classroom work. I mean, I do like to think that the research and the writing help the classroom, and likewise I get good ideas for research and writing from the classroom, so I think it all goes together nicely. There's more on all of this at my blog, copinthehood.com, where I talk about my book and other police-related issues, so I urge your listeners to go have a look at that.
Thanks, Professor Moskos.
Thanks for having me.
For more BookBeat, visit CUNY Radio online at cuny.edu/radio. BookBeat is a production of the Office of University Relations.